everyone. Welcome back to the Queens of Social Work podcast. I'm your co-host, Queen P.
And I'm your co-host, Queen H.
We invite you all to join us this week as we share, laugh, cry, and learn through our experiences as women of color who happen to be social workers.
So let's get started. I think with the rise of social media and its ability to influence behavior, we are seeing a rise in people reclaiming their time in and out of the workplace. Every time I open social media, I see people living their best life, taking their time off first, and then letting the employer know about it afterward. Okay, because they're using that PTO. I love the freedom of being able to pick up and go.
Yes, yes, I've seen it too. And not only with travel, but how can we get the coins to do so? One of the reasons I got into this profession is because of its potential for diversity. With an MSW degree, there's so much you can do, from getting a job in the justice system to working as a traveling social worker, you know, everything. Yes, that's right. I said a traveling social worker. Now, this concept may be new to some of you, but it's been around for a while.
Yes, Queen H. So today we're talking with Angela Thompson, who is a licensed independent clinical social worker. For over 6 years, Angela, aka Queen A, has successfully worked as a travel medical social worker in various healthcare settings throughout the United States. She enjoys assisting other social workers with getting into the exciting field of travel social work. So tell us how you be. Welcome, Queen A.
Hey, Queens. Thank y'all so much for having me today. I'm very excited to talk with you all about travel social work.
Thank you so much for being here. Yeah, so with that segue, let's just talk about it. What is travel social work?
So travel social workers are master's level social workers who work in various settings, such as like hospitals, clinics, prison systems, schools, to basically fill gaps in employment. So independent healthcare staffing agencies hire social workers to fill these gaps because our skills are needed in a lot of places.
That's right. Big time.
For sure. So it's very similar to like, travel nursing, because now they have travel everything now. So it's great that we're in this field and they see the need for social workers, for sure.
I agree. You know, I'm constantly trying to escape. And so travel social work is right up my alley. And so after this, I'm going to need you to tell me what I need to pack in my bags. And I'm going to roll out. That's what we're going to do. We're just going, is there anything I need apart from a license and MSW to roll up?
Yes, I can help you out with that. We can get you started.
In social work school, most of what you're learning is about generalist practice, working in some agency somewhere, or providing therapy. Where did the idea for traveling social work come from? And what made you choose this method of work?
So I believe it came from them just really having a need for social workers in these different areas, particularly in the hospital setting, just like they need other medical professionals. Social workers are needed. There are a lot of psychosocial issues in the hospital settings and just not enough people to meet that need there. But I found out about the field of travel social work back in 2015. Prior to traveling, I was working in the hospital. So I was just feeling a little burned out. I'm like, there has to be other opportunities out here. Like, I want to pursue social work, but I just need something else, like to kind of get out of my hometown. I'm ready to explore. So I just searched the internet and I came across travel social work, and my mind was blown. I'm like, I never knew social workers could travel. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this could be what I need to get out of my norm and to just do something exciting. So I just remember reaching out to a recruiter. He told me what I needed to get started. So he said I need at least 1 year of medical social work experience postgraduate school. So you have to have your MSW and at least that year. Sometimes I say at least 1 to 2 years of experience before they can start traveling. And that's just like any other profession, like with nursing. They have to have that experience first before they can start traveling, because they don't provide a lot of orientation or training. They expect you to hit the floor and start working and know what you're doing.
That's true. Well, listen, I wish I would have known about this when I graduated from my MSW program, because the sister would have been out. Okay.
Yeah.
I like to get flued out. So I would have been I would have been out of here. Let me tell you something. I would have been on the first thing smoking, and I probably would have never come back, because when I talk to some of the young ladies that I see at my facility that come in and they're doing travel social work, first of all, the amount of money that they're making, I understand insurance is an important thing, but forget insurance at that age, because I'd have been like, I'm young, I'm going to take my vitamins and I'm getting on the road.
Right. And the money that you make, you can afford to have a private insurance plan, because that was a concern of mine. I'm like, I'm going to be making a nice bit of coin. I pay for a plan or do marketplace.
Listen, yes. Thank you, Obama. Obamacare. Yes. Marketplace. But yes, no, I agree. And so I think it's such a great experience for young social workers, for someone who just likes to travel, whatever it mm-hmm. is, because like you said, when you go, they expect you to kind of hit the ground running. But it's no different than when you work in any other field. Like, listen, when you work at some of these other social work jobs and you're staying put and they're paying you whatever they're paying you, they give you 2 seconds of orientation and then they're like, get in there, and they throw you to the wolves. They're like, well, some yes. places, right? So it's no different. So why not travel, be good at that, right? Mm-hmm. Make your coin, do that for a year, two, three, save up your money. Maybe you see a city that you like. Maybe that's where you want to move. It gives you a chance to explore somewhere temporarily until you're ready to decide whatever you want to do, you know? So I think it's such a great plan.
Yes, it really will grow you personally and professionally, because even if you know the job, you know, every place is different. So you're still learning the way that they're going to do the job there. And you can take things from different hospitals and, you know, help them implement it. So it's great.
I love it. I love it. So apart from the traveling, do you have like a home base that you work from? What's the deal?
Yes, I do. So my home is in Birmingham, Alabama, and I work at a hospital PRN. So I work there between assignments. That way I don't feel pressured to have to take another assignment so quickly. I can stay home, hang out with my family and friends, until I'm ready to hit the road again. And I also do therapy. So I do teletherapy. So I'm able to do that while I'm on assignment as well as between assignments. So that's been really good for me.
Girl, when we talk about hustling, right? Ooh. We were just talking about this in the last episode about yes. monetizing your gifts. Hello, Sheena. Simple done. Monetize her gift. Okay. Out here. Oh, she said, God. I work PRN. That means when I feel like it on this schedule. Here and there, you can't just call me anytime, right? It's on when I want to.
That part right there. And that's one thing I can say about travel is the flexibility. I love the flexibility of travel, because if you don't feel like working or you want to take a month or two off, you can do that if you plan accordingly with your finance. You can't put a price just on your time that you have for yourself. Like that part is great.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true. You're preaching today. I know you've talked about hospitals. Do you have a specific population that you work with? Do you do peds in the hospital? Do you do adult in the hospital? Are you in the ED? You know, and you're going to have to tell us about this agency that we need to connect to so we can go ahead and get these down. It's okay. But before we get to that, go ahead and tell us about the population that you work with.
So I bounce around a lot. Like, especially with my PRN job, we are very service-based. So wherever they need me, I work. So if it's the ER or NICU, ICU, med-surg, trauma, I've worked pretty much a lot of areas. And the same with the travel assignment. They may bounce me around. If they need someone on a different floor, they may say, we need you working this floor today. So I really don't have a certain population. I'm pretty much open. And that's one thing with travel. It's important to be flexible. Don't put yourself in a box.
Yep, I think that's good, right? Because that looks great on your resume, so that when you're ready to, let's say you're ready to settle down and not do travel anymore, they see all this experience. You can work anywhere in the hospital. You can work in any population, any service, any situation.
Absolutely.
And you've worked in many different settings. It allows them to know that you are quick to adapt.
Yeah, no, that goes a long way. And that's why I tell people too, like wanting to get into travel, if you have the opportunity to work different service areas within your hospital, do it, because that's going to help you be more marketable to different hospitals. So your recruiter can really just promote you, like, hey, mm-hmm. he or she knows how to do this. They work this area. They're like, yes, we're ready. We'll take you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because having worked in medicine with people who are so resistant to going to different areas, resistant to leaving med-surg and going to the ED, resistant leaving ED and going to med-surg, resistant leaving mother-baby, resistant just to grow and to learn and to really get opportunities, because it's not for nobody but you. It's really not. And sometimes we miss out on our blessings because we stuck with the foolishness. I just want to add that.
Yeah, you don't want to limit yourself.
You don't. And why should you? Right? This is for you, for your growth and development.
And also, I think that when you're able to get a variety, right? It's like when you go to a restaurant and they let you sample a la carte, right? You can just get up. Yes, I'm fancy. You can just get the stuff a la carte. You can decide, like, you can taste this. Okay, I like the ED. I don't like med surg. Oh, I like working in ambulatory care, but I don't like working in geriatrics. Like, you can see what you like and what you don't like, so that when and if you're ready again to say, all right, this is what I want to do, you know, for the next couple of years until I'm ready to go out, or maybe I'm not ready to go out anymore. Whatever the situation, you have a varied experience that lets you know what you like and what you don't like. I think it's just, like you said, it's your benefit, Queen P. Like you said, Queen A, it's your benefit. It grows you. It gives you an opportunity to expand your skill set.
And you know, the truth is, Queen H and Queen A, sometimes we just want a job and we're not here for the skill set. We're not here for professional development. We're not here for personal development. We got to pay these bills. And sometimes, like Queen J said in our last episode, money got to be the motivator. Let's get these dollars and not be caught up with nothing else. And sometimes it just be like that. And we got to meet people where they at too. You know what I mean? So, okay.
That's true. And we're, you know, wanting to change that narrative about social work. Yeah, we don't have to be out here being poor, barely making it. Like,
that's right. Yes. Not out here being destitute, out here being a one paycheck away from, let me not go there. Y'all know where I was going.
I'm for real. Yeah.
I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop myself, because Queen P, look, Queen A, you may not know about me, but Queen P know about me. I start going off, okay?
And I always encourage you. I'm always like, yeah, sis, go off, H. You know me. I like the foolery, girl. I do. I'm here for it.
So, yes, Queen A, so please give us some advice. And let us know what other social workers who are interested in becoming a traveling social worker, what they can do, what they need to do. Just tell us what they need to do.
So one thing for sure is you have to get that MSW. You have to have it. Once you get your MSW, you need to hustle and get this experience. So if you're interested in working in the hospital setting, and I know sometimes it can be challenging right out of grad school to get that experience, because some hospitals want you to have your license first, or they want you to have so much experience before they let you in the hospital. But by any means necessary, just try your best, whether that's working PRN or working a weekend, even trying to do your practicum in the hospital. That way you can kind of get to know the staff that they may be willing to hire you after you graduate. So whatever you need to do to kind of get your foot in the door, that would be a great thing for you. And for another reason is, you may not like it. Not everyone likes working in the hospital setting. So at least you can get experience and determine, like, yeah, nah, this is not my seat. I want to do something else. So experience is very important. And once you're getting it, just feeling confident in your skill set. Because like I mentioned, they're not going to provide much training to you in a row. You may get 1 or 2 days of orientation, and then you're pretty much on your own, on caseload, and they're expecting you to kind of be able to carry yourself independently for sure. You also have home health, you have clinics, schools. So if you're wanting to go to school route, try and get school social work experience. So once you get the experience, of course, connecting with the recruiter. You don't have to just use one agency. You can use several. I have several recruiters and they know that I work with other agencies because one company may not have something that you're interested in, another may. So you can kind of play around with that. Having some good references, being flexible and open to the process. And even if you go on one assignment and you don't like it, that doesn't have to reflect every assignment. Like try it again and go from there. And I always know that home is going to be there. So if you decide travel is not a thing, okay, at least you can say that you tried it. And I have my book. So you want to be a travel social worker, say less. I have a list of staffing agencies in the book. And I also break it down for the agencies that staff for like hospitals or ones that staff in school setting. So if you want to look into that, it's all there in the documents that you would need to get into travel, because you'll also need like your shot records. So those type of things so that you can have your documents ready to start building your portfolio with different agencies.
Yeah, that's the big thing. The CPR, when you work in medicine, they do look at that CPR training.
Yes, and some agencies, they will reimburse you. And also like with licensure, some agents will reimburse you for that. So if there's a certain assignment that they have, say in DC, and they say, hey, you need your license in hand. If you're willing to get that license, they will reimburse you once you start that assignment.
What?
Mm-hmm. Right now.
Now paying them licensing fees for free? Wait, when you say you pay ahead and you get reimbursed, so that means it was free 99.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I'm a ball on a budget.
That's a nice perk because that add up.
That's it. No, listen, as a person, you know, Queen P and I are licensed in other states. And that also, you know, that adds up. Getting licensed, renewing license, doing all kind of stuff, fingerprinting.
CEUs, all that.
Yes, all the stuff that requires even just to get it. Oh, they reimburse. All right, Queen Aiden, put us up to some game, okay?
Okay, sure did.
Okay.
All right. So Queen A, do you think your ethnicity, gender, orientation, race play a role in your ability to do this work? Why or why not?
For sure. I think it helped. It will affect my work. It makes a difference. But of course, we're all unique. So I'll have something to bring to the table.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, especially depending on where you're going, what cities you are, it can play a role in how the patients relate, because some places don't have many of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so especially not many of us in social work that they see working in the hospital, even though there's plenty of us working, right? But they don't see them. So having seeing a woman of color, seeing a Black woman come to them and asking them the very same questions will garner a different response than having white social workers all the time. Because it definitely happened at a facility where I work. The social workers working on the trauma team, they're all white.
Mm.
And we're talking about a city that has gun violence, and you're getting patients that are coming in, and a lot of, unfortunately, the people who are coming in as a result of community violence are Black and brown.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, you know, the patients aren't talking to us. They're not. Yeah, well.
Well. That's not necessarily a surprise. Okay.
We're not shocked. We're not shocked. At all. But when a Black or brown person comes in there, the conversation is very different.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree. It matters.
It does. It does. Think about how helpful that would be to law enforcement, right? To have a provider who knows trauma, who can help you to navigate and mitigate the medical system, and can kind of engage you in a way that makes you feel heard and seen and validate your experience. And how helpful that will be to law enforcement right? To have a collaborative relationship. And then you can get more information that way, you know, to kind of catch the criminal or to intercept on a particular level. I mean, we're so valuable and so useful. And fortunately, unfortunately, sometimes there are these barriers that aren't really, you know, necessary.
Yeah, it's a lot. Because even thinking about, you know, just being in the hospital where they may have a crisis situation. And then you come into the situation and it really wasn't as big as you all made it out to be.
Oh, that happened plenty of times. That does happen too in medicine as well. That everything is a crisis. And then you get there and you're like, hello. And there's no crisis there. You're like, okay.
Exactly.
Or like a patient, the nurse may have told them no, but because the patient may be a little bit more boisterous, the nurse gets scared. And then they come to you, well, the patient is aggressive, they're this. And then you go and you're like, well, the nurse clearly said this, 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 and this. And they're like, oh, okay, that's all she had to say. And then they walk away. You kind of looking like,
yeah, all the time.
What is this exactly? You get used to it. So it's about educating the masses, but that's a whole other tangent. So Queen A, you have talked about travel social work. That's what you do, working PRN, also doing this work in mental health and having clients. And then you even mentioned a book. So these are some of the ways that you're monetizing your gifts. So are there any other ways that you're monetizing your gifts? Please share with us and talk to us and tell also in the same breath, tell the people where they can find you, where they can get edumacated about doing all of this and reaching out to you. Do it all. Run it down.
Yes, of course. You can find my book, So You Want to Be a Travel Social Worker, Say Less, on Amazon. I have my website. On there, you'll find the book as well as opportunities for coaching. So if you want to learn more about travel social work, I can coach you personally. You can also find me on Instagram at Travel Social Work Coach and just different resources regarding travel social work. Where else can you find me? I'm on LinkedIn, Angela Thompson. But yeah, those are good starts right there.
I love it. That is wonderful. This is exactly what we mean, right? You know, growing up as a little baby in the field, right? Back in the day, you would see social workers having like 2 and 3 jobs, right? But they were having 2 and 3 mm-hmm. jobs because they were not getting paid what they should be getting paid or whatever the situation may be. Now, when you see social workers having 2 and 3 jobs, it's because we out here hustling. We're out here writing books, cashing checks, right? Doing the therapy, doing the things that we want to do, and kind of really looking at all the different things that we like to do, right? Some people are in business for themselves. Some people work full time and still want to do something on the side because they like to, not because they have to. It's a whole different
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely.
I'm glad we've come this far, and there's so much further to go, you know, in this profession. There's so much to be done, so much work, and we're going to be here to do it.
Yes. I like mm-hmm. the fact that we're able to diversify our resume so much.
Yes. Yes. Because you are the investment. You're the prize, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you, everybody. Please, you know, go check out her book. Even if you don't want to be a travel social worker, go get her book. There might be a tidbit in there that helps you, right? I think encouraging getting your license, right? I understand that there's all the talk about what's going on with the test and how the test is inherently racist. We know that, right? But if you can take that mm-hmm. test, take that test. When they change it, take that new test. Right? Do what you have to do. But I think, you know, P and I always talked about go as far as you can go in the field, as far as credentialing and licensing, because it only adds to you. It's not about anybody else. So if that's that DSW you want to get held, sit, go get your DSW, doctor. I'm going to be Dr. Queen H. You're going to be Dr. Angela. Dr. Listen, that's right. Listen, Dr. This, Dr. Queen P, PhD, whatever you want to do, do it, right? Because all it does is add to you. It adds to your ability to monetize even more. It adds to your ability to reach more people. It adds your ability to change policies that affect the people, right? It adds. It doesn't take away.
Absolutely. You just said a whole word.
She sure did.
I go off. I'm just gonna sit here and be quiet because I go off. I be going off.
I love it. I love it. We need that.
We do.
Yep. No limits out here.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Queen A, for being on our show today.
Thank y'all so much for having me. I love talking about tribal social work. Please keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And you did the same. You do the same because, listen, we were checking you out on IG for a while. We were like, no, we're going to talk to her. We're going to talk to her. We don't know when, but we're going to talk to her.
For sure.
Listen, thank y'all so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening, guys. If you guys want to connect with us on social media, you can follow us on Twitter at the Queens of Social Work Pod or on Instagram at the Queens of Social Work. If you want more information on the topic we discussed today, feel free to check out our show notes or email us at thequeensofsocialwork@gmail.com. We'd really appreciate it if you rate, review, and follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening.